morning and welcome to the presentation of Telenor's first quarter results for 2008. My name is Scott Engriksen and it's my pleasure to guide you through this morning's presentation. We hope that everyone has the material that we've made available. That is our press release, the quarterly report and a copy of the presentation to be used here any minute. You may also watch this presentation live or in recording on either the internet or on a mobile phone, provided it's capable of showing live video. And you may also send in your written questions during this transmission. And you'll find both the material that we've made available and instructions on these alternatives from our website at telenor.com. There will be a Q&A session directly after the presentation here, and we will start off as usual with the audience present, then turn over to the ones participating on the phone, and finally the opportunity to do individual interviews. But now let's get down to business and take a closer look at the figures. And to present the first quarter figures today, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Trond Vestli. And first I'll leave the floor to you, Fredrik.
Thank you, Scott, and good morning to all of you. We are here to go through the first quarter 2008 from Telenor. Also in this quarter, we can record a considerable growth. It continues. We also have a stable EBITDA margin compared to what we've had in the previous. And what bothers us a bit on the top line here is the fact that the Norwegian kroner is still appreciating compared to the previous period. So our revenue growth underlying is for this quarter 7%. In Norway, we had in fourth quarter a setback in our mobile activities. That has now... Let's see if we get the my work here. Here we are. In Norway, for mobile activities, we see sort of a rebound of the Telenor Mobile in the Norwegian marketplace. It's significantly improved, and the efficiency measures that we started off after and during fourth quarter is starting to pay off. In Kyivstar, we have an outstanding, I should say, performance this quarter. All parameters seem to be on the right side. And Kyivstar has done remarkably well, both on the market share and margin in this quarter. Also in this quarter, we have added quite a significant new number of customers, 4.3 million to be exact. And this time it's all in Asia. It's our four operations in Asia that contributes to this growth. Pakistan with 2.1 million, Bangladesh 1.3 million, and Thailand 900,000. And we can now sort of see the 150 million milestone number of customers coming up on the horizon, being 147 million at the end of this quarter. The question about the rising food prices in Asia and in the world in general has been sort of a question. And we see that purchasing power are under pressure to a certain extent, but we don't see an effect of that other than some initial signs in Bangladesh, the way we see our markets develop in these days. Let me then move over to some of our operations, and in this quarter we've picked Norway, Ukraine, Pakistan and Thailand for specific comments. And I start with Norway. It is a very satisfying fact to note that our underlying retail revenue in Norway is growing like 5%. And this figure was 4% in fourth quarter. And it is then our own retail that basically are building up also knowing that this is the last quarter where we have volumes from the Tele2 wholesale contracts on board for the Telenor Mobile figures in Norway. In this quarter, revenue-wise, this figure is about 130 million kroner. Among the major sins in the Norwegian marketplace, we were the only one that increased our customer base in this quarter. We expanded our customer base, in particular, very satisfying around postpaid, and that also takes the average ARPU on the customer base up. The cost initiatives that we launched for this activity in both during and in the first quarter has started to pay off. Of course, in such a quarter, there will be sort of some short-term effects coming out of this. So also on the longer-term horizon, we will need to address the cost structure of this operation going forward. But still, seeing these kind of means giving the effect in the first quarter the way it has, we think this is a good sign. So we are maintaining comfortably the margin that we set for 2008 to be on the level of mid-30s, all in all, the way we see 2008 from first quarter perspective. If we then go to Fix Norway, at first glance, it might be a disappointing top line here. This includes, luckily, a reversal of some lease line revenue of 50 million Norwegian kroner. And it includes the price reductions of naked VSL and wholesale VSL that was initiated from 1st of December last year. And to a certain extent, there is a minor effect coming from the Easter period. On the OPEX side, there are some one-offs related to restructuring costs and a loss on an IT project, totally 114 million Norwegian kroner. And if we take this, the revenue comment and the OPEX comment, and look at it holistically, the underlying EBITDA margin is at par with our targets, 36%. Or this quarter. On the positive side, this quarter is the quarter where we have had the lowest loss of the lowest line loss since first quarter 2003, meaning that it's almost 5 years ago since we've had such a low line loss. As we recorded in this quarter. We maintain the target, the targets for the year of a 3%, around the 3% revenue decline figure for this operation in 2008, and the cash flow target of 3.5 billion for the same year. If we then go to Kyivstar, Kyivstar has an outstanding performance this quarter. It has maintained its market leadership, and it's solid now at 43%. And in this specific quarter, we do not have the heavy seasonal effects coming from the usually high number of new SIM cards being distributed in Christmas and New Year season. And this takes average revenue per user up to 18% in the quarter. And as a consequence, we can record a 27% revenue growth overall in this quarter for Kyivstar. It's a very good performance, and it takes the margin to 60% in the quarter as such. And our congratulations basically goes to the management of Kyivstar, having managed to develop Kyivstar also into the most valuable consumer brand considered in Ukraine in these days. Moving then over to Pakistan, Pakistan is this quarter the number one contributor to customer growth in Telenor in first quarter 2008. But it's also the number one when it comes to number of customers among the players in Pakistan, with 2.1 million new subscribers in this quarter alone. And we've now been in Pakistan for 3 years. We've reached 17 million customers after 3 years of operations now in April. And this is for yourself, 15,000 people passing our outlets every day in 3 years, 365 days a year, in 3 years consecutively, because that's what it takes to reach 17 million customers in only 3 years of operation. It's a phenomenal performance to facilitate those kinds of volumes, both network-wise and also, of course, customer handling-wise. So Tore Johnsen and his team has done a remarkable job over these 3 years. We are now at a 20% margin, 20% market share in Pakistan, and we believe ourselves to be solidly number two in the marketplace. This happens at the same time where ARPU is average revenue per user is reasonably stable. We're still at $4 per user per month, and this is also a strong figure for Pakistan the way we see it. On the negative side, there have been rising energy prices, which has put, to a certain extent, pressure on our OPEX in the quarter. And there are two reasons for this happening. Number one is that electricity supply is generally not secure enough, so the backup coming from diesel-run electricity is part of this game. And that, of course, also put pressure on both the logistics around it and also experience the general price in energy prices. In this quarter, CapEx were anticipated to be higher than what's recorded here, but we have seen that some completion of network installations have been deferred into future quarters. Because of the, partly because of the unrestful season that was a fact in Pakistan, at least in the beginning half of this first quarter. In DTAC, we've had a good customer growth also in this operation in this quarter, 900,000 new net customers. But more importantly, there is a slight strengthening in average revenue per user. And this has been a long sought-after effect as we adjusted the price plans, beginning to do so in third quarter last year. We've also been able to improve the traffic balance between the operators in such a way that the interconnect balance has improved for DTAC in this quarter compared to previous quarters. The number one question for Thailand in this year will probably be the question around 3G. We do already possess an 850 license upon which we can use for 3G purposes. But it's also anticipated that there will be a process around 2.1 gigahertz during this year. Of course, seeing DTAC participating in that process. As for the rest of operations, I will be very brief at this stage. I'll start with Russia. There are in Russia two more legal claims that have arrived in this quarter. Alpha, our co-shareholder in Limpicom, has raised a arbitration claim in Geneva for $1 billion up against claiming that the delay of VimpelCom to access URS was Telenor to blame. A similar case came up from a company, a minor shareholder in VimpelCom, who's residing in Kanti-Mansisk in Siberia, raising a claim of $3.8 billion on similar grounds. We believe that these two claims are without merit at all. In Malaysia, we expect Digi to start working at its 3G license in the second quarter this year. And this will, of course, enable Digi to further develop the mobile internet service offering in the Malaysian market at par with the two other players in the marketplace. In Bangladesh, we have a good performance this quarter, but the purchasing power is probably under pressure, and we believe that this market will be a challenge for the rest of the year. Then lastly, I will give a comment on Serbia, and we're happy to see here that the management has been able to strengthen the EBITDA margin in this quarter, as well as building successfully the Telenor service offering as a good perception in the Serbian marketplace. And that leaves my comments for this first quarter, and I'll leave the floor to Tom.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, from me as well. Telenor had a good 7% underlying growth in the first quarter. But if we also exclude the currency adjustment, the revenue growth was as high as 9%. But then again, I will explain to you the effects of the currency. We're going from revenues in first quarter of 2007 from 25.3 million to 26.3 million this quarter. The Asia region is developing with an increasing with 1.1 million. That's an underlying revenue growth in the mobile sector of 17% in Asia. Pakistan is the main driver in that growth. It has a year-over-year growth of 80% from first quarter 2007 to first quarter 2008. In Central Eastern Europe, a growth of more than 700 million. It's an underlying growth of 14%. And the main driver in that region is, of course, Kyivstar with a growth of 27% year-over-year. Marginal decline in the Nordic. Broadcast is having an underlying growth of 14%. And in total, the growth is approximately 2.3. The growth increase is 2.3. But the currency translation effect takes about 55% of that growth and leaves us with a growth of 4% reported. Not reported, but including Kyivstar. And for year-over-year purposes. If you look at the detail of the currency development, the column in the middle here, it is the change from the first quarter of 2007 until the first quarter of 2008. And it has weakened compared to Norwegian kroner more than 88% in total over that period of time. So you see that it has effect on the translation into Norwegian kroner. Going then to the earnings before interest and tax, depreciation and amortization, it increased with 5% from 8.8 million to a bit more 9.2 billion, 440 million Norwegian kroner. And it is driven by the two negative events from Norway, both fixed and mobile. Grameenphone is having a negative effect basically as a result of currency translation in local currency. It's an increase, and then it's a change in Denmark, and then you have the positive contributors in DTAC, Qstar, Pakistan. That's the main drivers going up to an increase of 440 million Norwegian kroner. The 9.2 billion is before other items. We have some other items this quarter. It's totaling 236 million Norwegian kroner. The two major part of that is in Norway. It's restructuring costs of approximately 100 million, and it's the scrapping of an IT project that is 17 million. That comprises 170 of the 236, and that's the two main driver in this. The other part is basically content write-downs or content write-offs in Thailand and Denmark. Looking at a bit where the CapEx development goes, we divided the CapEx allocation in Nordic, in three regions, in Nordic, Central Eastern Europe, and in Asia. And if you go to the right-hand side of the slide, you see that 95% of our subscriber growth comes in Asia this quarter. Asia has an underlying growth of 18%. We see that CapEx to sales in the Asian region this quarter is 23%, and it takes about 58% of our total CapEx base in the mobile sector. The numbers from the Central European, Eastern Europe, Central and Eastern European is that CapEx to sales this quarter is 11%. It is a bit low relative to the cyclical trend in CapEx. The first quarter is a bit lower than some of the others. And you see that so that the 11% on the average is probably on a bit low side. And then the Nordic region has a 10% CapEx to sales and takes about 21% of our mobile CapEx in this quarter. Going to the reported P&L numbers, revenue base of 23.2 billion and EBITDA of 7,123 million. Leaves us an operating profit or earnings before interest and tax on 3.8 billion, 3,862 million. The difference between 2007 and 2008 is of course the associated companies increasing as a result of Qstar, but also that Infocom is doing better. And in addition to that, the line of associated companies of almost 3 billion Norwegian kroner is including the gain of Golden Telecom of 1.6 billion. So the number comprises of the 1.6 billion, approximately 650 million from Qstar, and Infocom and other smaller associates is approximately 750 million. Another big change from first quarter of 2007 is net financials going from a positive of more than 200 to a negative of 600. The main difference there is that market investments or the derivatives that we have that we account for market to market wise. In first quarter of 2007, we had a gain of more than 800 million. And this quarter, we have a loss of about a bit less than 100 million kroner. And that basically is the total difference between those two quarters. The net financial cost, meaning that the net interest paid, is approximately the same. And there is no other changes either in that, no major other changes in the net financial items. That leaves us at profit before tax of 6,253 million. We have an effective tax percentage in the quarter of 20%. The underlying operating entities tax has not changed. The weighting has changed a bit, so it's increasing a bit from 207 to 208. So the underlying tax rate is now approximately 33%. But when we're coming down to the tax calculation, you have to take out basically the whole line of associated companies, because VimpelCom and Keystar is already already included there with tax deduction. And the sale of Golden Telecom is tax-free. And that leaves basically the underlying tax rate of 20%, going down then to a tax cost of 1.2 billion Norwegian kroner. And that leaves a net income for the quarter of 4.5 billion. Earnings per share is 2.72 kroner. If we take out the gain from the Golden Telecom and also adjust the 2007 number from the market-to-market derivatives, we have for 2008 an earnings per share of 1.77 krona compared to 1.10 krona the last quarter. And that leaves us with basically an earnings per share increase of 60%. Continued reduction on net debt, going from starting of the year with 40 billion in net debt, going down to 36 billion, driven by, of course, the natural effects of interest and tax, CapEx. And we see that the sale of Golden Telecom coming in of 4.5 million and the EBITDA leaving us at 36 billion. That is going to change during May as a result of the dividend payment of 5.7 billion. Going to the outlook, no change in the outlook. On the face of it. What has changed, if you can remember the currency slide, is that the currency has changed from beginning of the year until the end of first quarter. So the currency effect has an effect on the revenue guidance. Currency, comparing the currencies, it has actually an effect of all approximately 2 percentage points. But as a result of acquisitions done in the period, we're maintaining the guidance of around 5% reported revenue growth during the year. EBITDA margin is also maintained above the 31% level, and CapEx itself is still estimated to be around the 20% level. And with that, I conclude my part of the presentation.
Thank you, Dom. We're now ready to take your questions, so I must switch back to the podium. And before you ask your questions, please wait for a microphone to be passed over, and also please introduce yourself. We have a question here.
Hi, it's Martin Hoff from Arctic Securities. Concerning your revenue growth guidance of 5%, was it correct that in Q4 that you gave it on an organic basis? So the 5% now, is then how does that compare to the 5% you gave last quarter?
The written guidance is always made on the reported growth, the reported numbers. That means excluding Kickstarter. And it's not made on underlying. So basically, it was made on organic growth, correctly. So in the outlook guidance, we always say that it's guidance on the current ownership or assets, basically, that we have. So in addition, whatever acquisitions and sales we do after we give the guidance is, of course, adjustments to that.
I am a partner of EAB, isn't it?
That's correct.
So the 1.7 billion estimate for that, then the 100, so the organic growth if you, compared to the root one you gave us, then it's approximately 3%. Is that correct?
Well, basically, what I said was that the currency effect of the guidance that we gave is about 2%. And as a result of IS Partner and numerous other changes, we're upholding the 5% level.
The offer is down in all Asian markets, and part of that, of course, is the currency related. But you also mentioned that there are indications, early indications in Bangladesh, that reduced purchasing powers is having a direct effect on customer spending. Could you elaborate on that? Do you expect this trend to continue?
The comment was, you can in a way speculate that a pressure on purchasing power will also sort of hit the telecom industry. Generally speaking, if you take a look at Hungary, for example, Hungary hasn't necessarily reduced its telecom spend through 2007, despite the government's ambitions of taking back purchasing power throughout that year. Now, when basics are at stake here, you could, in a way, ask the question differently. Would that mean that our industry will be sort of seeing effects from that? And volume-wise, we haven't necessarily seen that impact in Bangladesh either. But we have to be realistic on the fact that if the situation on food prices rises, and that creates a sort of real situation around how people will use their funds, then I guess that there will be an effect there. At the same time as this happening, Bangladesh is still having a low penetration of mobile phones, meaning that the competitive situation around getting new customers on board will still be there. So the characteristics of the markets will probably be that of a high number of new customers being connected, but that the marginal customer will have a role, low ARPU attached. And here, of course, the operators, Grameenphone included, will have to consider its efforts in the marketplace in such a way that you balance off OPEX and CAPEX in the right way.
Well, we have a question here. Hello. Please wait for a microphone when you're speaking.
You mentioned the loss on an IT project of 100 and some million Norwegian kroner. Can you elaborate on what that relates to?
The project on that is related to the server consolidation ambitions that we entered an agreement with IBM on a couple of years ago. And we have not been able to proceed with the required progress on that that project. So we will have to redesign the project and put it into sort of another context. And that we're in the midst of sort of doing that. Server consolidation means that in a telecom industry, generally speaking, too many servers are popping up at too many places in the network. And you get a suboptimal utilization of servers could see such a situation. And if you bring these into one management area, you could probably utilize and get good efficiencies into the usage of servers in your operation.
Just to clarify, the scrapping of in the project was 70, not 100 some.
Okay. Any further questions here? If not, I will call upon the call, conference call to introduce questions from the ones participating on the phone, please.
The first question is from Mr. Ulrich Ratze in the company Dresner. Please go ahead.
Three questions, please. The first one regards Keystar. Is the exceptionally good result in Q1 a hiatus in the competitive situation that will then revert in the second half of the year, or is this a sustainable result, and to what degree is it sustainable? That would be my first question. Second, with regards to the food price inflation, you talked about Bangladesh. I heard DTAC local management talking quite unconcerned about food price inflation because they believe the rural population is actually benefiting a lot in Thailand. Could you sort of outside Bangladesh maybe talk about your views, i.e. Thailand, Pakistan, Malaysia? And then third, with regards to your guidance for Norwegian fixed top line, you're talking about 3% revenue decline. Now, I remember from the Q4 call that you actually talked then about minus 2 to minus 3. Is this sort of just the rounding error here, or have you actually reduced your expectations in Norwegian fixed on the top line? Thank you.
TSR exceptionally good. We agree to that. Whether it's exceptional or not, I mean, over the years we have had that question sort of coming to us quite regularly, and it is very well done by TSR to maintain this level the way they have over many quarters in a row. I would, in a way, not cement here that there will be a firm 60% margin in all quarters going forward here. But I mean, Kyivstar will operate in what we think is a good market place in 2008. They are very well positioned, and it's a non-subsidized market, meaning that the competitive means in the marketplace is overseeable. And so we believe that TSR will have a good performance throughout 2008, not guaranteeing you the margin level in all quarters in 2008, of course. In Asia, you're right in the fact that Sigrid Brekke of DTAC elaborated a bit on that, and Asia and Thailand is a bit in the difference because they are net exporter of rice. And what they see is that basically the rural areas, through this development, probably will get access to funds in another way, that the cash flows in the society will move. And we've already seen a higher pickup of mobile communications in the upcountry areas of Thailand. So this is a diversified situation in the country. You mentioned Malaysia as well. And we don't see any signs of this in Malaysia. Also seeing inflation in these two countries quite low compared to other areas. In Pakistan, the rise in energy prices has an effect on our OPEX, but we have not seen any effect on the demand side for telecommunication services. So our comment on this is, for the time being cautious on the development in Bangladesh. As for the fixed line, whether there is a difference between 2 to 3 and now around 3, the price adjustment that was done on naked DSL and the wholesale DSL is a 100 million Norwegian kroner reduced element on revenues for 2008. We believe this was necessary in order to balance retail prices and wholesale prices. So around 3%, that's our comment for 2008, the way we now see it.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Patrice Maurice in the Zone.
Yeah, hi, it's Maurice Patrick from Bestons. Just picking up on the energy price comment, could you share with us how much of your OPEX is exposed to energy prices in Pakistan, and perhaps contrast that with, say, Norway, where I imagine it's lower, And could you please sort of talk a bit about if there's any sort of things you're putting in place to reduce energy consumption and how you see that moving forwards? Thank you very much.
Yeah, I wouldn't have access to details of that level, unfortunately. However, the energy situation in Norway compared to Pakistan is very different. The reliability of public supply of electricity is weak in Pakistan, and downfalls of the energy supplies have been quite frequent throughout the winter. And this takes a bit, this puts a higher burden on other energy resources being used to keep the networks running. And that is why, in a way, we end up with a pressure on OPEX prices stemming from energy. We're working and trying to address two questions in Telenor when it comes to energy. Number one is energy security, having a secure source of energy when we run our systems. And number two, the cleanliness of the energy source as such. We are a high energy users when it comes to keep the networks running, and we're consuming energy very spread around all our base stations. So access to energy is important. And here there are sort of ideas of bringing both solar energy and wind energy into the formula of covering the energy need of a base station. And we're trying to do some tests, bringing those kind of elements, both from solar and wind, into our energy supply in the years to come.
Is it fair to say that the majority of your energy needs come from the base stations as opposed to the core network?
It's fair to say that we're not like a factory. We don't have our energy consumption linked to one place. We need energy supply all around in the system. It was better in the old times when the analog system didn't require electricity to be run. This is not the case anymore, so energy needs to be distributed in the network and needs to be fed into the network at many places.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Peter Nielsen in Chevron.
Peter Kurt Nielsen from Chevron in London. I'd like to focus on the domestic operations, please. If I may just return to the fixed line revenue growth, how confident are you that you can keep this at -3% for the year, given what we've seen in Q1? I mean, where do you expect an improvement or stabilization for the remainder of the year? And on that note, any comments on the competitive situation in the domestic DSL market at the moment, and where you stand, so to speak, on your triple play offering at the moment? And secondly, on the mobile market, now, 3 months ago, when you talked about the initial outlook for 08, you obviously faced the likelihood of losing the Ventilo contract. Now, that has sort of been transferred into a roaming agreement. Are you more optimistic on your domestic mobile performance in 2008 compared to 3 months ago? And does the sort of your comments on less marketing spent in the first quarter, does that in sort of affect a more stable Norwegian mobile market compared to what we saw last year, or is it just a seasonal effect? Thank you.
Yeah, that was many questions in a row here. I start with the Ventelo risk. You're right in the fact that at last reporting sequence, we had risk attached to how the Ventelo contract relationship would end up. And we are now satisfied with the fact that we have secured a wholesale contract as well as a roaming contract with Network Norway. And this will then give us a period of time where volumes will be at will be reasonably sort of visible. And the insecurity around that is then taken away. The other side of this is that we're with the reversal of the 50 million Norwegian kroner effect from last year into this quarter, of course, gives sort of a additional visible effect to the top line effect in this quarter specifically.
Yeah.
So we are reasonably confident that we are going to maintain a level of around -3%, because the competitive situation is not that very much changed the way we see it. The intensity in the marketplace on mobile has been high from our side in the period where we try to secure as many customers that we possibly could in the migration period from the Telenor network to the Netcom network for the Tele2 customers. And I'm happy to say that given the positive development of Telenor retail, I think we can say that we have been reasonably successful in our endeavors to securing that kind of development. Though the absolute numbers in customers being fairly small, still we're on the positive side, and we only among the majors, as I said, who have been able to build customer stock in that period. Okay.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Melly Reed in Handelsbanken.
Thanks, Mr. Handelsbanken. First, from Bangladesh. I wonder what is the status in the investigation there with the RTC regarding the voice over IP case, and you were supposed to give us some kind of submit some kind of statement to the authority there. Can you update us on the situation there? And then secondly, what's your view on the talks, the buzz around the industry consolidation in the Nordics? Thank you.
Two questions. Bangladesh. The voice over IP, yes, there is a remaining element of discussions between BTRC and Grameenphone over that issue. But there hasn't been any sort of development in that question over the border. Yes, there is an investigation going on, and I have no additional comments to that basically at this stage. We're also discussing, of course, with the regulator and the authorities in Bangladesh the potential of making a IPO of Grameenphone in Bangladesh during this year. And we believe that this could also be helpful to the general equity market in Bangladesh. But around that, there also needs to be a framework that is reasonably well understood and transparent in order to understand the conditions that such an IPO is done upon. When it comes to industry consolidation, the way it has been speculated over in newspapers over the last couple of days, I have of course no comments to that question. That question has been with us as long as I've been in this group. And if I say anything in any direction, it will probably be misunderstood at all. So there will be no comment on that question.
If I may follow up on the Bangladesh issue, have Telenova or Grameenphone submitted the investigation that you commissioned for, I think, the Pricewaterhouse, whatever it was?
Well, we have submitted the necessary papers to BTRC. We have not concluded our own investigation relative to the circumstances. So the engagement with Pricewaterhouse is still running, but the papers to BTRC is submitted. But we're still in discussions with BTRC subsequent to that submission.
And may I follow up there, is that question linked to the IPO discussion, or is the regular BTRC is also involved in the IPO discussions?
Well, that is not linked to the IPO discussion. What we're discussing with BTRC relative to the IPO is in relevance to the license, the length of the licenses, and the frequency discussion. So it's basically more operational issues than the investigation they have on the voice issue.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. James Brayton in Lehman Brothers.
Thanks very much. First of all, can I ask what balance sheet headroom do you think you have to finance any potential deal with cash? and so to avoid the use of equity. Secondly, would your, or to what extent does your controlling shareholder, to what extent would they be prepared to dilute down below control to facilitate a combination with a strategic partner? What have they said in the past to you? And then specific on financials, your depreciation fell 5% in the quarter, and despite a trend of sort of increasing capex over the last few periods. Can you explain why that is, and can you give some guidance on the depreciation for the full year? And then finally, on Norwegian Mobile, can you just specify what revenues you received from the Tele2 MVNO contract in Q1? Thank you.
Bill? I guess these questions are for you.
Well, mostly, I guess. Well, as you know, our strategy for financial flexibility is to try to achieve a single A rating to make sure that we have the flexibility when the situation arises, and that means that we're going to be flexible on the single A rating when the situation arises that we feel comfortable and going forward. We have not stated at all how far or how much we can reconsider that relative to the circumstances. So I guess for a number, I don't have an answer for you. And that also comes with sort of a combination of your first and second question, how much our main shareholder will dilute themselves. I guess that you have to ask them. They have made some political statements, but it is also open for Telenor for industrial structuring that might happen. So it's not sort of locked in as such, but I guess that you, for what circumstances and how much, I guess that you have to talk to our main shareholder. Going to the CapEx discussion, as I said through my presentation, it is the increase of subscribers that are driving our CapEx level. The CapEx level in Central Eastern Europe, as well as in Nordic, is on a fairly normalized place. We do have some expansion, though, in Serbia as well as in Kyivstar, but not to the extent that it's accepted. So it is the element of Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Thailand that is basically driving it. And, of course, one incident that comes up for accounting purposes is a non-cash capex of the 3G licenses or the frequencies in DG. But as we've shown, it is a matter of capex or capacity as well as customer driven. And I guess we can view that two ways. One is, of course, we have to manage it and make sure that we're not wasting our money, but also it's good capex relative to driving the growth going forward. So in essence, I do think that we see fairly balanced. As we said in the fourth quarter, we do see that it is a declining trend both in Bangladesh and Pakistan, as well as in Thailand. So we actually see the trending down. How quick that is coming down is really dependent on the market growth.
Okay. Sorry, can I just follow up on depreciation? Why did depreciation fall 5%?
I don't think I can understand or to answer that right away.
Okay.
I guess the basic difference in the first quarter is that we had a launch of the satellites that actually drives the capex higher than what they actually see in increase of the actual capex. But other than that, I have to revert. You have to revert that to the IR and ask them to come back to you.
Thank you. And can you specify the Tele2 revenues in Norwegian Mobile in Q1?
The Tele2 contract, the income of the Tele2 contract in the first quarter were 130 million kroner.
Thanks very much.
Next is Anders Winberg, Iran.
Hello, I'm Sandberg from RAM. More on Norway. First on the fixed line business, you usually talk about the Easter effect being strong in Norway. Can you quantify that? And should we expect a bit of a bounce back in next quarter? And on the mobile business, they have changed the interconnect by, was it the beginning of July? And how should that affect the profitability for the second half for your side? And finally, you've sold Golden Telecom, of course. Should we expect that some of that money will be used for buybacks, or have you communicated anything regarding the use of your balance sheet post this? Thanks.
Well, on the fixed side, on the Easter question, yes, there is an effect. We predicted during its presentation it is a minor effect. We also have to consider that it is 29 days in February, so that has an effect as well. But now we're coming into basically the nitty-gritty. So we would say that, yes, it has minor effects, but not a substantial one in total. So the bounce back relative to those comments, you have to estimate yourself. How that's going to affect the second half, we don't give any guidance on that further than we've given already.
And on
we have done buyback during first quarter, and we are going to pay our dividend in May, so it's going out approximately 5.7 billion during May, and also that we're going to continue as a result of the contract we have with our major shareholder. We're going to buy back the proportionate number of shares from them beginning that, and that settlement is probably going to be done during end of June or beginning of July. So as a result of that, we are spending some cash. No decisions have been made on any additional buyback.
Okay, thanks.
Next, Mr. Steam of Com, Audit Research.
Yeah, hi there. Three questions, please. The first one is just related to your comments on the economic outlook and whether you're seeing in Asia, whether you're seeing any extra wage inflation in that area, and also some of your Eastern European assets where inflation is running pretty high at the moment. The second is how those comments affect your appetite for M&A. I'm thinking specifically about Vietnam, and maybe you could just update us on the process out there, whether the comments you've made have any impact. And the final one is just in the broadcast operations where there was a 35 million hit in the first quarter. Can you just specify what that was and whether that flows into the rest of the year as well? Thank you.
I can start off on sort of the general comment on inflation. Our industry has generally not the same ability to, in the short-term frame, to raise prices in periods of inflation. Of course, there are limits to that. Generally speaking, the advantages of from the hand of the customers has the general benefit of the fact that telecom prices usually stay more stable under those circumstances. And as a consequence, volumes are being driven up, and usually the volume growth has been able to cover the inflationary element that you see on OPEX. As to M&A activities, Vietnam is still a country which, from a Telenor perspective, is a very interesting area. Though we have to say that the process has taken very long. Whether there will be a breakthrough on international players coming into the Vietnamese market this year, as has been indicated from the authorities, will be very interesting to see. And if that happens, we will for sure be among them looking at that potential. As for broadband, the contract there is a long-term right that we have to
the sport rights for the Danish market. And during the year, we will put those rights into a setting where they become part of the premium service offering in the Danish market. So, yes, this is a long-term contract, and it's not for the write-down. It's a regular allocation of the contract attached to this period that has been taken as an cost of goods sold in broadcast.
Okay, so just come back on the inflationary point. I understand the point you're making and volume rises sort of covering inflation, but I guess the question is, are you seeing any extra weight, you know, wage inflation pressures, which might, you know, limit your ability to offset that you've seen in the past, or are you not seeing any extra pressures at the moment?
Well, I talk in general terms, basically, so we don't see that negative effect in our that you're hinting at. However, in take a country like Ukraine is probably the best example of the subject that you're bringing forward, because the air volumes and developments are in a way covering the inflationary aspects of the OPEC involved in the QSR operation.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Sumitesta, New Street Research.
Hi, Sumitesta at New Street Research. Sorry, can I just go back to the question on inflation? Taking the Ukraine as an example, have you actually been able to specifically increase prices in that market? And is that something which is possible given inflation, as you pointed out, is running, I think, at sort of 20-25% level? That's the first question. And then secondly, just on Pakistan, you talked about energy costs generally, but in that market. Is it fair to say that in the meantime those energy costs are going to offset any potential scale benefits? So should we expect the margin in Pakistan to remain around the 15% level? Or I think it's running at mid-teens. And then just finally on Bangladesh, you talk about a somewhat gloomy outlook for the rest of this year. Is it conceivable that under that outlook you will look to trim your CapEx budget? Thanks.
On the inflation side, prices for telecom services in Ukraine has been reasonably stable throughout the last couple of periods. So, but it hasn't been such that prices have generally been raised either. Meaning that there are, you don't see the same intensity that we had a couple of years ago when new segments were to be opened from a customer acquisition point of view. So there is a more price stable environment the way we see it. And prices are low in that market given that there are no subsidies on handsets. Energy cost in Pakistan, margin, we are running at 17%. We believe that this margin will move upwards from here throughout 2008, driven, of course, by the significant customer stock and the fact that we are now covering more than 55% of the population with a very solid network offering reliable and very strong connectivity, given that we can handle the energy side, the energy factor as part of the equation of having the network up and running. So energy is very central in that respect. In Bangladesh, you used the word gloomy. We used the word challenging. We believe that there will be a hectic competitive period to compete for new segments of the population to reach connectivity, which is important for local economic and development the way we see it. And we're happy to participate in that kind of competition, building the market. And of course, but balancing this up against sensible capex when it comes to building the necessary capacities to handle the customer growth, by using price plans actively to allocate traffic
two are also periods during the 24 hour of a day in such a way that you can extend the usage of the network.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Jacob Bluestone, Merrill Lynch.
Oh, hi there, Jacob Bluestone from Merrill Lynch. Just one quick question. Just on the fixed line side, and you mentioned that you had the lowest rate of line loss in about 5 years. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the competitive environment that you're seeing in Norwegian fixed line. Thanks.
The competitive dimension around the fixed line in Norway is not of the kind that we had a couple of years ago, when voice over IP in a way became a very strong wave. Prices were realigned between PSTN and ISDN also a couple of years ago, and that balanced off the intensity around the voice over IP concept. And from that onwards, we have seen a more stable competitive situation around the players active here. The main players is of course Tele2, Mexicantel of Telesonera, ourselves, and a high number of regional players offering these services. Many of these regional players originating from the electricity sector. The characteristic for the time being has a regional dimension to the extent that some electricity companies are also offering fiber installation. And fiber is becoming a more visible element in the service offering going forward. And that fiber will become also to be deployed in greater volumes in the years to come. I think we have to recognize that that will be part of the future. And in that sense, we believe that Telenor is very well positioned because of our extensive backbone capacities in being able to handle the new volumes that also fiber in the access network would mean.
I'm
reasonably satisfied with how we are positioning the Telenor service offering here, using community pricing principles where we include both fixed and mobile voice as well as broadband services into the same way of meeting the customer. And I think this trend will continue.
If I just ask one follow-up question, do you still expect to generate 10 billion of free cash flow from the Nordic business?
On the midterm, we have established a midterm target for ourselves in the Nordic areas for a 10 billion cash flow target, and that remains the way we see the present structure of the operations in the three Nordic, three Scandinavian countries.
Thank you.
Mr. Andrew Lee, Citi, please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just one question on Norwegian mobile. You mentioned postpaid customer gains help the ARPU actually rise this quarter by 2%. What exactly is driving these postpaid gains? And are you seeing any easing of the on-net bundling price competition we've seen over the past few quarters?
What drives this is again community pricing. We believe that the community, the family of the community, is a strong entity to bundle services, mobile and fixed in the same package, and so that has become a popular service offering from Telenor. The on-net feature, yes, that is something which is here, and the asymmetric termination principle that still applies to the Norwegian market is a challenge for us. The fact that the regulator has stated that Telenor and Netcom, the Telenor operation in Norway, will be equalized when it comes to termination charges this year is, of course, welcome. But since both Tele2 and others are able still to maintain a very almost double the charge in asymmetric termination charges, the community pricing with on-net traffic pricing products will be part of the future competitive characteristics in Norway, if you like. Of course, this debate is going on for how long an asymmetrical setting can prevail, Norway being the only country in Europe, in a way, still adopting something which is history in most other markets.
Okay, so can you just to clarify, what exactly is it that's driving your ARPUs higher this quarter? What is it that's driving your increased postpaid customers?
This is the general feature that it's a popular service. It's the usage, and that of course price pressure in this quarter has been acceptable.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Bengt Møller-Reed, Handelsbanken.
Yeah, thank you, Bengt Møller-Reed. Just a question regarding the broadcasting side and also M&A. How do you see your place here and access to content, platforms, satellites going forward?
Well, when it comes to broadcast, I guess we don't have any comments of activities in the M&A. We see that there are some movements going out there, but other than that, we stay on course relative to need for content and good agreements with content providers. And whether something happened in the market, we're following it, but nothing more than that.
And maybe we should add there that we will replace Tour 5, no, Tour 3 will be replaced later this year with a new satellite to be launched, anticipated to take place in October.
Thank you very much.
This concludes question and answer session to be broadcast, and I would like to thank you all for participating this morning.